Turn with me again, please, to Psalm 103. The title of the message this morning is, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgments for all that are oppressed. We're going to look at these six verses, and hopefully you'll be saying with me, as I did as I read these verses a few weeks ago, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. Look at all His activity for His people. And He's not left out anything that's good for any of His elect. And there's so much in this one passage of Scripture. But as I was thinking about it, He says, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I got to looking at it and I thought, well, that's the right term. O my soul. O my soul. Man became a living soul when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But man became a dead soul when Adam fell in the garden. And it's that soul that I have inherited from Adam that I'm blessing the Lord with. Oh, my soul. Think about it. That soul that is dead in trespasses and sins. That soul that Ezekiel said twice, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Paul said it this way, the wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, James said, bringeth forth death. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Life is so short. As a matter of fact, you look down at verse 14 of this chapter. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over it, and it is gone. Place thereof shall know it no more. Life is so short. Life is so short. And with this soul that I have, how can I bless the Lord? All men are lost. All men are lost. How can David say, Bless the Lord, O my soul? I think I know how. I believe you do too, you who know the Lord. David is worshiping the Lord who did great things for him. Great, wonderful, mighty things for David. David is probably thinking, out of all humanity, and now he's thinking this personally, and I've thought it too, and you probably have too, but he's thinking, out of all humanity, God chose me. Oh my. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He chose me to be one of His people, to be one of His own, to save me. That's why later David says, Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. His response to what Jesus Christ had done for him was to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hold your place there. We're going to be going to several scriptures, but I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. We'll keep coming back here. Matthew chapter 11. We're speaking of the soul. David knew this far in advance. We know it from what is written. But look in chapter 11, verse 28. Verse 28. Our Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's a song that was just sung beautifully. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And notice, and ye shall find rest for your souls. David found rest in the Lord God, in Jesus Christ his Lord. David found rest the same way we find rest. And it comes from the command, not the invitation, but the command, come. Come. That's not an invitation. That's a command. That's not an offer. That's a command. Come. Come. You come to the Lord Jesus, you will find rest for your soul, and you'll be exclaiming with David, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, what does it mean to bless the Lord? I think it means just worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Isn't that what we're going to be doing for all eternity? We're going to be praising him and worshiping him for all eternity. With the 24 elders, with the 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, a number that no man can number. We're going to be blessing the Lord for all eternity. How do you worship a king? You bow down to him. Simple, isn't it? That's how you worship a king. You go in before a king. The thing you do is you bow before him. You bow before him. And you look down at verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. He's the king. We bow down to him. Hold your place there again and go with me to Psalm 95, just a few pages back. Psalm 95, verse 6. The writer says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He's the one who made us. He's the one who created everything. To him, we must bow down. Now, we can bow down now. Bowing to his sovereignty, to his will, to his word, giving allegiance to our God, the King. We can do that now. But it's for sure, whether you do it or not, you will do it. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess him as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now you can do it now and enjoy the blessing of the Lord and be able to say, oh my soul, bless the Lord. Or you can, as the world wants to put it, you choose your own way, go your own way, do your own thing. But if you go without Jesus Christ, you will bow down. But then there will be no hope. None whatsoever. How do you worship a Savior? Look at verse 17 of Psalm 103. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. How do you worship a Savior? Thanksgiving. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Are you thankful? That's what David is saying. I'm thankful that I had a Savior that took care of all my problems. We'll see as we go here. Took care of everything. He died for me. He lived a righteous life and merited a righteous life for me. He paid for all my sin. He gave me His life and Himself. And I'm thankful that He did all that for me so I can bless the Lord. I can bless the Lord, oh my soul, because that soul is resting in Jesus Christ. How do you worship a Savior? With thanksgiving. Why, He's done all things well, hasn't He? He's done all things well. He's provided a perfect salvation. And He hadn't offered it to anybody. He provided it for His people. And one day He'll, if you're one of His people, one of these days the Holy Spirit's going to take the Word of God that's preached and drive it into your heart. I don't know how. It's a miracle in itself. I don't understand it. But He's going to drive it into your heart. And you're going to see the truth as you've never seen it. You're going to see the Lord as you've never seen Him. And you're going to see yourself as you've never seen yourself. That's how we worship. Bless the Lord. The Lord said to the woman at the well, the Lord seeks those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. How are you going to do that? Only if the Spirit of God, only if the Spirit of God brings that to you, reveals that to you. We worship Him in holiness. You see, He's our sanctification. We worship Him in holiness. He's holy. I'm evil. But only as He has done something for me, that I am sanctified in Christ, who is my sanctification. How do you worship the Lord? How do you bless the Lord? Well, look at the end of Psalm 104. The end of Psalm 104, verse 33. He says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A lot of folk like that in your heart part because you don't have to be out loud. But we sing, don't we? We sing. We sing from our hearts. We praise His holy name. That's what we do here in our services. Look at verse 34 there. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I'm going to meditate on Him. I'm going to think about Him. Bless the Lord. I'm going to think about all His, verse 2 of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That's His grace. That's His grace. Bless the Lord for all the grace that He has shed upon us. And not one deserves these kind of benefits. Not one. And there's no cause in us that would bring these benefits to us. It's only in Him. You see, the Lord is the benefactor. We're the beneficiaries. The Lord has done everything and has given grace. His chosen are the beneficiaries who receive the grace of God. You know the greatest gift that God has ever given? Great is the mystery of godliness. God became a man. Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The greatest gift, is Jesus Christ Himself. James and I were talking about this the other day, and do you know, the Lord loves, the Lord gives, the Lord is gracious only in one person. Only in one person. We know the love of God through one person. We know the grace of God through one person. We know all these benefits that He lists here in verses 3 to 6 in one person. I would think that it would behoove us to meditate on that one person. To think about our Lord Jesus Christ. To keep Him in our minds. To meditate upon Him. You know, He has riches. The Bible speaks of the riches of His grace. How rich He is in grace toward His people. And if He chooses you to show you grace, that's, as Paul learned, sufficient. Sufficient. Not just sufficient, but it's the benefits. With His grace comes Him. Or should I say, coming Him brings grace. He gives more grace. Grace for grace. His grace teaches us. Are you saved by His grace? For by grace are you saved through faith? That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anybody should boast. It's a sovereign grace. He gives it to whomever He will. And He says to them, I will be their God, and they shall be My people. It's a sovereign grace. He gives it to whomsoever He will. It's an eternal grace. That mercy we saw in verse 17 is from everlasting to everlasting. That grace started the foundation of the world. I was speaking to my son this last week. And we were talking about a couple of verses in Scripture, and I said, do you realize that there was a Savior before there ever was a sinner? Do you realize there was a Lamb of God before there ever was a sacrifice? He chose us before the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve were ever created and put on this earth, there was a Savior. There was the Lamb of God. It's eternal grace. It's unchanging grace. I, the Lord, change not. Yes, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can put whatever attribute you want there. And it's all according to His purpose. We read it so many times, but hold your place there. Let's read it again in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I don't believe we'll ever get over this, and that's why we with David say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. On purpose. On purpose. He purchased us. It's by the purchase of God. By his righteous life, he merited the blessings of God for us. Righteousness for us. By his atoning death, he canceled the debt of sin, the songwriter says. He substituted himself for us, and he satisfied the justice of God that Paul could say to young Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Christ did it alone. Didn't need any help. Help wasn't necessary. As a matter of fact, if we look at it carefully through the scripture, help was not wanted. Help was not needed. Help was not required. And help was not allowed. Our Lord did it all. Everything. Man's help was not needed when he substituted himself for us. Man's help was not needed when he brought in everlasting righteousness and salvation. He did it all. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3 of Psalm 103. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Aren't you glad? My greatest need, my greatest problem is me, my sin. And I can't do anything about it. I can, New Year's, turn over a new leaf, try a new system, but it don't work. I can't do anything about my sin. There's not a sacrifice I can make that would take care of my sin. Even my death without God and in sin would last eternally. Because I can't do anything about it. And the Lord has forgiven his people. Look at verse 10, Psalm 103. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He's forgiven us. He's paid for all our sin. He purged our sin. He scrubbed them out with his own blood. He put away our sin. As far as the east is from the west, he's put them away. According to Isaiah, he's put them behind his back. Never remember them again. Again, according to Isaiah, as a thick cloud, he has covered our sins. And Paul in Hebrews said, and he will never remember them against us again. No wonder we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Our sins are forgiven. They were forgiven to us. Jesus Christ completed this at the cross when he said, it's finished. He was the sacrifice for our sin. Not one of them will be held against us. like Abel's sacrifice, God had respect to his son. That sacrifice was made. And it was done for all eternity. What a blessing. My sins are forgiven. Number two. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities in verse 3. Who healeth all thy diseases. I need to be made whole. Not just that my sins forgiven, but I need to be made whole. And isn't that what the Lord did so many times while he was here on this earth? And he healed somebody and he made them whole. He took away the problem and then made them whole. He heals our diseases. By his stripes, he says, Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. He healeth all your diseases. He's the cure. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30. He healeth all my diseases. Jeremiah chapter 30. Look down at verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured. All thine enemies, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Now notice, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. There was one man, dude. There was the God man who sought after Zion. And instead of being forsaken and outcast, now they're his bride. Now they're his body. He heals all our diseases. That leprosy of sin that we experience from the sole of our foot to the top of our heads, putrefying, ugly, festering sores. He healed. That sin, that problem, he healed. No wonder Malachi said he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Back to Psalm 103. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I like that, don't you? I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm healed. I'm redeemed. No wonder David said, I can bless the Lord, oh my soul, and bless him for all his benefits. There's that. His forgiveness to me, his healing of me, and his redemption. He bought me. He bought me with a price that can never be duplicated. Because it was the price of the God man. A lot of blood has been shed. Some people, scarce some may even give their lives for somebody else. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He redeemed us. We've obtained eternal redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us plenteous redemption. Not just redemption, but plenteous. Psalm 130. Hosea was told to marry a woman who was a whore. And she went a-whoring after her other lovers. And he found her at the slave auction block. And he bought her. And brought her home with him. There's Naomi and Ruth that came up out of Moab. And perhaps by God's providence, it wasn't perhaps, by God's providence, she went to a field of Boaz and gleaned there. And Boaz bought her and Naomi's land back for Naomi. He was the kinsman redeemer. He had the ability. He had the power. He had the desire. And he bought her. And we're bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. He shed that blood for his people. He is our redemption. He's that pearl of great price. The guy said, I'll have to buy that whole field to get it, but I'll do it. As a matter of fact, come think of it, that new Jerusalem have 12 gates, all of pearl, one pearl. Not a cluster of them, but one pearl. It's Jesus Christ. Precious Jesus Christ, who is our redemption. Latter part of verse 4. He says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness. We're drawn with love. Loving kindness. Jeremiah said it. We're drawn with that loving kindness, and that's an everlasting love. It's not an emotional love like we have. Somebody loves us, we love them back. Somebody gets on our wrong side, we stop loving. Or we show some hatefulness. But it's an everlasting love. His kind of love. We're drawn with the cords of a man, the man, Hosea said, with bands of love. Our Lord said, I've loved them to the end. I don't care what end you think about. Doesn't matter. He loved them to the end. He loved them to the completion. He loved them to the finishing of the thing. And this was his purpose in completing salvation. God wanted many sons to bring the glory. So Jesus Christ came, died for their sin, made them whole, redeemed them, justified them, and then presents them to his Father. A glorious church, without spot or wrinkle, holy and without blemish, faultless. Bless the Lord, O my soul. If he could do something like that, and he did. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The proof of God's love is his own Son who gave himself for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Again, Hosea, God speaks through Hosea and says, I will love them freely. Freely. Didn't cost a thing. Not on our part, but it cost him everything. He left heaven's glory, humiliated himself, became a man, and died for you and me. Then look at the latter two words of verse 4. Tender mercies. Tender mercy. I need mercy. Oh, how I need mercy. I'm guilty. And what can a guilty person do but beg for mercy? Whether God gives mercy or not, that's up to Him. It's His purpose. It's His decree. It's His choice. But I beg for mercy. Oh Lord, have mercy on me, as the publican said at the temple. But then I find, according to Micah chapter 7, the Lord delights in mercy. You know, He wants to give mercy. He wants to give mercy. He wants to give mercy to His people. And He'll do it. He'll show mercy to you. It is the Lord's glory. It's all the goodness of God. And He talks about plenteous of mercy. Plenteous of mercy. Look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He's got enough mercy for everybody. For all His people, He's got enough mercy for them. Quickly, we'll move on here. The next one is verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He satisfies. Bless the Lord. He's the only one who can satisfy. This world can't do it. I can't do it myself. My friends can't do it. But Jesus Christ can. He satisfies. He's satisfied, He said, with my mouth. When confession is made to the Lord, we'd rather talk about Him than anything else, wouldn't we? He satisfies. The Father is satisfied with the Son. David is satisfied with the Son. And by the way, if you're satisfied and you delight in the Son, you're delighting in the Father too. And He delights in that. He loves it when it's all about His Son. The next one is found in the end of verse 5. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Renewal. A new man. Bless the Lord, He's made us a new man in Christ. A new creature in Christ. We have new life in Christ. We who were the ones who were but dust are now renewed in Jesus Christ. No wonder David cried after he had sinned against the Lord, renew a right spirit within me. Renew. I need that renewal. He is my renewal. And I bless the Lord because He is. I need a daily renewal. Don't you? He's faithful every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are there every morning. I need that every morning, don't you? And He gives it. He gives it to His people. And then in verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Truth and mercy have met together in Jesus Christ. That righteousness and judgment has all been taken care of. I am complete in Him. Who is the complete one? He's the total package. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He is all I need to know. And by His grace and His mercy, He's all I want. You see, He was judged in our place. And now there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And who did He do this for? All the oppressed. All the oppressed. Do you know that you're oppressed? Do you know you have a problem with yourself? You know you have to live in this body of flesh? All the oppressed, those that are oppressed by sin. Do you realize that you are a sinner before a holy God? He died for the ungodly and He died for sinners. If there's any good in you, He didn't die for you. You realize you're oppressed by Satan? Even though his head has been crushed, he still walk about at a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Maybe we're depressed by this present evil world. Let me tell you something. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. You see, it's all done for the oppressed. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And He has the ability to do all this. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Wherefore He's able to save to the uttermost that come to God, unto God by Him. He's able. And He's able to keep you until the day of Jesus Christ. Now if you want to learn more about His ability, just read Psalm 104. He tells us the benefits here in 103. And 104 He tells us He's able. He's able. Are you blessing the Lord with all your soul this morning? Our Father, thank You for Your word this day. Thank You for salvation complete in Jesus Christ. And may the Spirit of God speak and work in hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed with a song. Number 209 in your hymnal. Number 209. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, all His grace.